I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito, calling number tonight, and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Vito. Great to be here, as always.
It is great to be here. I owe our especially our Twitter followers an apology. I wasn't able to get the show out on Twitter until now, and so it's late getting out. Work life is got in the way on this one. So I apologize to everyone out there, and if you're listening in the iCar archives, when I do get it out, that's great, and we'll go along with the live show tonight. So how you doing, Al?
Hey, doing terrific. Did you have a good weekend?
A tiring weekend. Yep, it was tiring. Did a little bit too much yesterday, and in the heat. And didn't get to play any golf, but it was all right. How about you? How was your weekend?
Played some golf, really bad golf,
Ooh.
Too, I might add. You know how sometimes you just have an off week end?
Yeah.
This is one of them. And you know what it was? It was
what?
Swinging too hard when you don't have to, trying to make something happen. Big mistake in life and in golf. And I do it over and over and over again.
That's real easy to do.
Yep. Hey, the solution to that, guys, is go to the store, get your girl some flowers, and take them home to her. And that's the way to cure that. And you're probably saying, those two things aren't remotely related. And I say, you're right. But the flowers are a good thing to do. As benefit sometimes.
That's exactly right. You know, because the wives, our lady friends, put up with a lot. They allow us to get out there and do the things we like and play some golf. And it's a good thing, right?
Yeah, and if you're a man who pretends to be a woman, you're still a man. So put that
right.
in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, the politically correct version of, of in 2023. It's just unbelievable what we're seeing and hearing. But you know what? Yesterday, the PGA actually had a tournament, and it was the Fortinet, Fortinet, the Fortinet Championship, and Max Homa has been a defending champion. He won 2 years in a row, but I got to give props out to our friend Holger here, because Holger picked Sahith Theegala on last Tuesday, to win. And it's like, wow.
Great pick.
Yeah, and see, Theegala has not. He's been played by the 74 tournaments. He hasn't won. He's been in contention a couple of times. Kind of dropped. He had a lead once going into one Sunday round and folded. But you know what? He's a young man. He's won as an amateur. He's won in college, so he is a proven winner. Justin Thomas was in the field, and he certainly needed to be in the field because he's not been playing golf very well, but he's on the Ryder Cup. Max Homa was in the field as well, the defending champion. But on after Friday's round, this guy named Sahith Theegala was in the lead. It's like, holy crap, he shot a, you know, he was right, I'm sorry, after the second round, he was in the lead. It's like, whoa. And it's early, you know. Saturday, he shoots a 67, and then yesterday, I turn the TV on, and you're on the 15th hole, and he's got a four-shot lead. And then a three-shot lead because S.H. Kim decided he was going to birdie a hole, and then Degala birdies the par five, and he goes up by four shots again. But in the end, then Degala ends up bogeying the 18th hole, but it didn't matter because he had a three-shot lead going into 18 over S.H. Kim. And Degala gets his first PGA Tour victory. It was beautiful. He had 35 friends and family members that were following him all 4 days. This young man finally broke the ice, and I think we might be on the verge of seeing someone who now is getting the idea of how it is to win, and he's been a champion, you know, in the amateur ranks, and there's no reason why he can't. He's an emotional player without a doubt, and he's got the passion to win, and he hates to lose. And that's a beautiful, beautiful attribute. And he played fantastic. He didn't fold under pressure. The 18th hole, a little bit of a bad luck. The next time, I'm sure, when he's got a four-shot lead, he'll play it out into the fairway more instead of trying to cut some corners, you know, and have 130 yards out and try to, instead of 117 from deep rough. But anyways, very impressed that Sahith Theegala from the United States won his first tournament. Congratulations. He gets an exemption for 2 years on the PGA Tour. S.H. Kim finished solo second. Cam Davis finished solo third. Eric Cole from the United States finished solo fourth. Justin Thomas had the best tournament in a long time, this year anyways. He finished solo fifth. And in solo sixth was Brendan Todd from the United States. Very, very unusual leaderboard to find that the top six were all individual, there were no ties. So it was a really good tournament. It is 2 weeks before the Ryder Cup. Next week is the Solheim Cup for the women. They will be playing the European ladies, the Great Britain and Euros, who have a strong team that will be led by Suzanne Patterson, and then the American team will be led by Stacey Lewis. So the American ladies have an uphill battle, and so we'll see how they will do. And the men, it'll be in Rome, and certainly I will be rooting for Rome, on the Italian side, but I will be rooting for the United States. But I'm not sure that's going to look too good because the Euro men all were in playing the BP Tour this past weekend, and I think 10 of the 12 made the cut, and six were in the top five. So this is not good. So I don't know if you had a chance to see that, but it was a very good tournament.
Europe is strong, and Theegala played great. Ryder Cup, Europe is strong. They're going to put a whooping on the United States, I'm afraid. But
It looks
like we'll see what happens.
It really does.
Yeah. Smart money goes to Europe. They'll bring in a few illegals, and then they're going to put them on as ball finders, and that'll be good because they'll learn something.
Yeah, they will. So, one little news, you know, the one thing I can say is that we support the police, and we ask that you support your local police officers. And this is kind of a sad story, not kind of, but it's a sad story for the men and women in blue coming out of Los Angeles. A Los Angeles police officer was shot and killed in his patrol car outside the sheriff's station yesterday. What makes this really sad is that the officer, they say he was ambushed, he was assassinated. Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department Deputy Ryan Quickenbroomer was killed in an ambush shooting outside the Palmdale Sheriff's Station on Saturday. This is a despicable, disgusting, cowardly act by some scumbag who decides that he is going to ambush a police officer and specifically a police officer and assassinate the police officer. The individual, if this individual is found, should be put to sleep. And sadly, you know, this officer was simply doing his duty, Ryan Klinkenbrumer, 30 years old, sitting in his police car, just like the two police officers in New York City several years ago, where the scumbags walked up and killed Sanchez and his partner while just sitting in a police car. There is no reason for this, none. The hateful left has fomented hate, and they continue to do so against the men and women in blue who are simply doing their job, doing their duty. This person is a scumbag who killed Deputy Ryan Klinkenbrumer, and this scumbag should be shot dead when found, not even put to trial. There is absolutely zero reason to ambush and assassinate a police officer at all. Zero. So it's just an absolute despicable act. Investigators are analyzing a video that shows a dark-colored sedan slowly pulling up behind an LAPD vehicle at around the time the shooting occurred before speeding away. We really need your help. We need to get this guy off the street, Luna said. He ambushed and killed, he murdered one of our deputies, and we need your help to get him off the street. So anybody out there in Los Angeles area, if you have any information that leads to the arrest of a suspect, please contact the LA County Sheriff's Department, because these acts of violence, these acts of ambush and assassination should never, ever be tolerated. Never. And especially against the men and women in blue who are simply doing their job to enforce the law. These fucking cowards.
Well, breaking news on CNN on this story out a half hour ago. Suspect arrested in the ambush killing of a newly engaged Los Angeles deputy. After an hours-long standoff, a 29-year-old man suspected of gunning down a Los Angeles County Sheriff deputy was arrested today. But the reason behind the killing remains a mystery. Kevin Salazar is accused of ambushing and shooting Deputy Ryan Klinkenbrunner, 30, as the deputy waited at a red light in his patrol car, as you had said. He surrendered after deputies deployed chemical agents at his home. Should have done a lot more than that.
He surrendered. Yeah, the sheriff described the deputy. Coward.
Yeah. Exactly, and the sheriff's described the deputy's killer as exactly that, a coward who took Klinkenbrumer's life while he's sitting at a red light waiting to serve our community. He was murdered, ambushed by a coward.
And, of course, there'll be nobody will be out there protesting, or you know, the BLM people will not be protesting this. It's unbelievable. Oh my God! It says what? 50? It sure does. Huh. What the hell is going on? You know, I gotta. Well, let me see if I need to change the episode of Showy that we have an hour. It's only an hour show today. Huh.
The Chinese will like that. They hate our show.
I think even the Iranians after this one.
Yeah, they don't like our show either. Or Kim Jong-un. He's not a big fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what?
So thousands will be sad and 3 to 5 will be happy. So that's good.
I'm glad you brought up Kim Jong-un, because Kim Jong-un, the communist dictator out of North Korea, was visiting his communist colleague, Vladimir Putin, in Russia. And, you know, isn't it ironic that, you know, when President Trump leaves, suddenly the villains across the world become emboldened, whether it's North Korea or communist China, or it might be, let's see, who else would you say? I'd say, Iran. you know, they all decide that they will be doing something together. They will unify sources. And so Kim Jong-un, and I say Kim Jong-un because that is a testament to the genius from California, Maxine Waters. So Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin, two communists now, are forging an alliance, and they're pledging, they pledge space tech for North Korea. So the people of North Korea are in squalor. They live in fear. And now Kim Jong-un is going to decide now that he is going to he's going to get involved in the space program. Wow. Wow. I mean, and of course, he's got the communist Putin now. It needs all the help he can get. And so as long as it's against the United States, you've got communist Putin now, you know, forging an alliance with communist China, with Iran, and now with another, you know, communist country, North Korea. Wow. So imperialism, it's amazing, huh?
Yeah, you talk about an axis of evil. Now you've got two short Marxists getting together, and Kim Chi Un is he's now going to give munitions to Russia to fight the Ukrainians. So you're right. The absence of Trump has created a vacuum of Marxist dictators all getting together for a powwow and a party. And when they all get together, it's not good for freedom, liberty, and the rule of law, and chaos will ensue, and a lot of people will die, and the dead bodies will stack up. So this is very dangerous, unsettling times, and only getting worse. So we need President Trump back.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of which, you know, with concerning President Trump, you know, President Trump was on Meet the Press yesterday with the new host or hostess. I don't know what's the proper pronoun. I'm going to say host, Christian Welker. And
racist.
You know, if you hadn't had a chance, yeah, thank you. If you hadn't had a chance,
her.
Oh, her. Yeah. If you hadn't had a chance to listen to the show, to the Meet the Press, you can go on the line and check it out. And it's quite comical. It's comical in a sense that the media today, especially the DNC-backed U.S. media, such as NBC, makes it a point to constantly inject their own personal opinions. And, in doing so, you know, they have no problem in trying to correct President Trump. And I think, you know, Kristen Welker did it several times because, you know, she had to follow the DNC talking points and she had to follow the anti-Trump narrative, although she tried to make it look like she was being objective. But Trump did a masterful job. And in one instance, you know, the one thing that we've spoken about, we are here at Global Patriot Radio, and in this particular show, we've talked about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And if you don't know what that is, it's the United States has a Strategic Petroleum Reserve of oil. And it's in case of national emergencies. And under President Trump, it was filled to capacity. And President Trump did it at a net zero cost per barrel, okay, $20-$25 a barrel. He did it for under $40 a barrel. And, of course, one of the things, the reasons for getting rid of President Trump was to make America global. And it was to bring in and erase the agenda of President Trump because it was successful and it was working and it was pro-American. And the thing that the Washington D.C. Syndicate they despise anything that's pro-America, and you know, make America great is a now considered a radical statement, although making America great is, was the intention of our founders, too, since you want to talk about something. So the newsreader, Kristen Welker, decides that she is going to challenge President Trump, and she's going to challenge President Trump in a sense that when President Trump talks about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and he mentioned that the Strategic Petroleum Reserve under his administration was filled to capacity. And Joe Biden, under the Biden-Harris-Obama regime, has depleted the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to levels the lowest ever. And right now, I believe it's sitting at 355 million barrels, and it may have reduced even more because bonehead Biden has drained it further. The capacity is somewhere around 714 to 715 million barrels. And President Trump rightly stated that the Biden-Harris-Obama regime used the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to artificially lower gas prices during an election. You know, because let's face it, the Democrat Party does a masterful job in manipulating elections. And they did. They drained the Strategic Petroleum Reserve in order to keep gas prices down because OPEC had announced that they were going to stop drilling. They were going to stop, they were going to close the spigots. And they were going to make it tougher to get oil. And obviously, the United States was taken off of energy independence immediately by Joe Biden and the Harris-Obama regime. And we saw the ramifications of that reckless activity by Joe Biden and his handlers, his anti-American handlers. We've seen where inflation has gone up to the highest in 40 years. We saw gas prices rise at the pump. We saw grocery prices escalate to prices that we've never seen before, the highest prices ever. We've seen supply chain issues. Anything to do with petroleum was impacted because of the reckless acts by the globalist, the incompetent Joe Biden, that little mental midget, little Joe Biden. And so President Trump was correct in stating that Joe Biden had depleted the Strategic Petroleum Reserves to levels that are dangerously low. And newsreader Kristen Welker, of the host of Meet the Press, thought it necessary to correct President Trump not once but twice. Every time President Trump stated that they're at the lowest levels ever and Joe Biden depleted it, she quickly came to Joe Biden's defense, which I'm sure she got the talking points from the DNC, and she stated that there were a lot of factors involved in depleting the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And she was combative. And he said, no, he depleted the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to artificially lower gas prices. She says, well, there were many factors in that. And he said, no. And he did it again. He said, there were a lot of factors. And let's move on. And he said, no. And the answer to this is Joe Biden and the Biden regime, his handlers, because Joe Biden, of course, is not smart enough to do it by himself, and his handlers are anti-Americans. They're anti-constitutionalists. They made a decision to take America off of energy independence, and they made a decision to tamper with the 2022 midterm elections by tampering. They lowered gas prices. They artificially lowered gas prices by releasing over 370 million barrels of oil to artificially lower gas prices in the United States. You know, instead of re-energizing America's energy independence and making America great, you've masked it. And then you get your little chimpanzees in the media, okay, to cover up for you. And the DNC controls the U.S. media. The DNC controls ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN. You know, I hear about Fox News, you know, well, they're a part of the media. Yes, they are part of the media, but they have no impact, as much impact as an ABC, NBC, and CBS does. Because that's what we've been trained as Americans to do, is to look at those news medium sources. Now, many people now have gravitated away from what is now called the legacy media and have moved to alternate sources. whether it's cable TV news, Newsmax, or even a Fox, or if it's other sources, including bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, by the way. It's a great medium source. And Bigfoot's back, by the way. He was out of town, and I was kind of surprised to see that this is the first game. This weekend was the first football game that he went to since 2016 with Virginia Tech, his alma mater, or his love, played Duke. So, unfortunately, Virginia Tech Hokies lost to Rutgers this past weekend in college, and that was kind of a shocker, too. I wouldn't expect that. But anyway, so there are other sources. And, Al, if you can you extend the show at all?
Let me get on there and try.
All right, thanks. So Kristen Welker, you know, thought that she would just go ahead and continue to correct President Trump. And, of course, she is just spouting the DNC narrative. And as long as the Democrats, the left wing, the uniparty all make statements of their facts, then anything else that you and I read, see, and know as factual is not factual because the DNC controls those facts, at least that disinformation and their misinformation. And this is definitely a misinformation and disinformation because, let's face it, the Biden-Harris-Obama regime is great at tampering with elections. And they tried to tamper with, they attempted to tamper with the 2022 elections to masquerade the cost of gas. Now, when Trump left office, the average cost per gallon was $2.02 a gallon. In some places, I was paying $1.89 a gallon. Some people in South Carolina were paying $1.69 to $1.70 a gallon. People in California were paying $3 and $4 a gallon, so the average was $2.02 a gallon. Today, it's the new low, okay, the new standard under this fraudulent regime, this anti-American regime, is to make the bottom, the base, higher, okay, and then proclaim that, you know, everything is great. So we're talking about $3.50, $3.60 a gallon, okay, as a new standard base, in some cases $4, $5, $6 a gallon. Right now, you're talking about $3.70 a gallon. $3.70 a gallon. Thanks to the climate change global policies of taking America off of energy independence. And so when President Trump rightly stated that Joe Biden used the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which is for a national emergency, as a means of tampering with the 2022 elections to artificially lower gas prices, he was absolutely correct. And the Kristen Welker, being a loyal soldier to the left wing, had to dispute that because they wouldn't push back on Joe Biden stating that he was, you know, at ground zero on 9/12. They wouldn't push back on Joe Biden stating that he beat up popcorn behind the schoolyard. And they wouldn't, of course, they wouldn't beat up Joe Biden for making the numerous false claims that he's made. But now we're talking about facts and how the left wing continues to cover for Joe Biden. They cover for this particular, these lies and this, I don't know what you call this, reckless regime. And the second part was you have to give Trump credit. I don't care what anybody says. He knows the media is going to be adversarial, and they know that, you know, they have their talking points to attack Trump at any level. And Kristen Welker tried to get Trump on abortion because that's exactly what the left wing does. Anybody in the right wing who, you know, we are, if you're pro-life, you know, the left wants to discredit you. And, of course, they have their own disinformation and misinformation to spew as facts. So in one of the comments, and this is where the media loses their effectiveness and their legitimacy, in one of the comments, Kristen Welker was asking President Trump about abortion and a 15-week ban. would he support that? And, you know, he said he would support negotiating with both sides because this has torn the country apart. And he's absolutely correct in that regard. And he thinks there's a common ground. And he said, and suddenly, you know, Mike Pence has come up with a 15-week, and they this number, 15 weeks, has come up. Anyways, Christian Welker then says, well, you know, anti-abortion groups support. I said, I'm thinking, wow. Not pro-life groups, anti-abortion groups. And her comment wasn't pro-abortion groups. Right, her comments are not pro-abortion groups, and so the level of dishonesty and bias and partisanship on the part of the media is unlike we've never seen. And you know, I got to give President Trump props on this one because he did go into the lion's den. Kudos to DNC NBC for attempting to appear mainstream, and of course, kudos to President Trump for not backing down. And all the bias aside, and yes, you know, you like this interview. No, you didn't like this interview. Okay, so let's put that bias aside for a second. The one thing that you could take away from this interview that President Trump did with Meet the Press is that it was a coherent individual. President Trump was coherent during the entire interview, and he stated facts. He stated his opinion. And you know what? For over an hour and 20 minutes, he was answering questions. Now, I know there's people like Bill Kristol out there who are living, you know, in 2020, and all they hear is that President Trump talking about 2020. Well, President Trump spoke about it, and he moved on, and he was talking about policy issues. Because the left wants to make sure that they try to make it sound as if, in the uniparty, as if President Trump is just only running on 2020, and he's not. But you know what? For 1 hour and 30 minutes, President Trump gave an interview. He conducted an interview, and he did it with mental clarity. Unlike Joe Biden, President Trump spoke in complete sentences and not in Biden gibberish and lies. You see, Joe Biden is not capable of conducting an interview of any length with even the DNC U.S. media. Biden's mental incapacities is quite telling. And it tells us that Biden was installed for one reason, and it was to do the bidding as a front man for the Washington, D.C. syndicate. Why else would Joe Biden be shielded from the DNC U.S. media since 2020, even while he was running for president? And why would he be shielded by Christian Welker? She was supposed to be apolitical during this, and yet she continued to cover up for the Biden regime, the Biden missteps. That wasn't her job. Her job was to ask former President Trump questions and allow him to answer the questions. When President Trump had strict facts as far as indisputable, because even the media knows they're indisputable, she wouldn't push back on it. But because they have their own bias, such as abortion, such as the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, she saw fit to challenge President Trump. She should have kept her mouth shut. You know, everything's been scripted for the furlough fraud Joe Biden, and yet he still manages to be a disaster, including infusing false stories and lies. And yet the DNC U.S. media continues to cover up for Joe Biden. You know, folks, it's truly amazing how naivety has been tested over the past 3 years. You may not agree with President Trump, as a matter of fact, and many on the left, and of course, some on the right side of the political aisle continue to despise this man. I mean, after all, the left wing and the Uniparty made it their mission to discredit, destroy, and delegitimize Trump. And even Jerry Nadler wrote that in his six-page manifesto, Never Legitimize Trump. And that objective continues today, from November of 2016, when Jerry Nadler authored that manifesto, to today. But what has been exposed in the last 972 days is that Joe Biden is a puppet. Joe Biden is incapable of conducting even a 2-minute interview, let alone an hour and 30 minutes, even with a fluff DNC NBC newsreader. So I don't care what your political affiliation is. If you were truly honest, you would ask, why is Joe Biden being shielded? We know why. We see the sound bites, much to the dismay of the DNC U.S. media. And yet for an hour and 30 minutes, President Trump conducted an interview with a less than favorable individual who had her own bias, who had her own talking points, which are shared by the Democrat National Committee. There's no way, shape, or form they aren't. When you refer to pro-life people as anti-abortionists instead of using the term pro-life, when you question President Trump and you continue to insert your own opinion concerning the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which your opinion is wrong, by the way, and President Trump was absolutely correct, because the Biden regime that is beholden to the global climate hoax took America off of energy independence. We were knocking out oil. We were becoming an exporter of oil, which means what? More money into the U.S. coffers, which means what? To pay down debt. But when the Marxist mission is to create unsustainable debt, you must do something, Wuhan virus. You must do something, Wuhan virus. You must create chaos and unrest. Or let's say maybe you just cheat, as they did in the 2020 election. It's truly amazing. You know, Joe Biden can't even answer a question to Peter Ducey off the cuff. And it's clear that Joe Biden couldn't sit down for even a 30-minute interview with a DNC newsreader. And I'm just curious as to why there's no questions about that. But then again, you know what? Christian Welker answered a lot in the interview with President Trump when she just continued to insert her own bias and her own animus towards the man. You got to remember,
with Welker is back in 2020 during the debate, she's the one that brought up the conversation for black people to have that conversation with their kids and turned the whole thing into a racist rant and went down the racist road during the middle of the debate. So she is who she is. She is a racist, and those stripes do not change.
I completely forgot about that, Al. That's a great point. Yeah, she was bringing up some other things too, but from 2020, or it's like, you know, and Trump was right. The 2,000 Mules, okay? It was a documentary by Dinesh D'Souza. And in that documentary, it showed where you had these mules, 2,000 mules that were going around ballot boxes, and they were packing ballots. Now, one could say, well, it's just a documentary and nothing's come out. It doesn't prove that there's voter irregularity. Correct me if I'm wrong, Al, but as a result of 2,000 mules, I believe there's 6 or 8 or 10 of those mules have now been charged with tampering with the election, voter fraud. If in fact there have been 10 to 12 of these individuals charged with voter fraud, that means that somebody was tampering with elections. So President Trump is right when he talks about, you know, there's plenty of evidence out there, but you see the narrative that they have to stick to is that there was no fraud. I mean, there was no fraud in the election, you know. And as long as they say it, it's true. It's true. Oh, Jesus. Speaking of frauds, the Clintons have found a new funding vehicle. Did you hear about this one? The Clinton Global Initiative announces new proposal. Oh, well, the Clinton Global Initiative announces new proposal to help rebuild Ukraine, provide humanitarian support. Now, this will tie into our discussion about Iran after this, but isn't it funny that the Clintons now are using the term humanitarian support? So the Clinton Foundation now is what virtually shut down, but they have a new gimmick. And that new gimmick now is a global initiative to rebuild Ukraine. Now, I got to wonder, we should ask the question, what's the commission that the Clinton Global Initiative takes off the top of these nations, including the United States of America, who will be donating billions, tens of billions of dollars? It appears that there was a funding source that the Clintons have found, and it will certainly grease the coffers of their child, Webster Hubble's daughter, Chelsea Clinton, in doing so. The Clinton Initiative has announced a new organization to help rebuild Ukraine and provide humanitarian aid. Iran uses that term, to those impacted by Russia's 18-month invasion. In New York, officials at the Clinton Global Initiative 2023 announced the CGI, Ukraine Action Network, as well as numerous financial pledges to support nonprofits working in Ukraine as the two-day annual conference opens on Monday, which would be today. The news organization, which will be formally announced Tuesday, is designed to mobilize existing CGI partners and other leaders from around the world to create and finance new commitments for Ukrainians. It's the result of a collaborative effort between Hillary Rodham Clinton, the former Secretary of State and Democratic presidential candidate, and Olena Zelensky, the First Lady of Ukraine. Isn't it amazing that to rebuild Ukraine, Olena Zelensky went to France and she went to these French boutiques and she was spending $30,000-$40,000 a clip while the war was going on in Ukraine. Now, certainly if I'm the president of Ukraine, I want my family to be safe. But I think first and foremost, my allegiance would be to the Ukrainian people, as I would hope my wife's allegiance would be. So maybe she's going to upscale French boutiques to buy, these elaborate French dresses for the Ukrainian women. Not. Okay. So it's the result of a collaborative effort between Hillary Rodham Clinton, the former Secretary of State and Democratic national presidential candidate, and Olena Zelensky, the First Lady of Ukraine. Russia first invaded the eastern border of Ukraine in February 2022, thanks to the fecklessness of the Joe Biden regime. Sorry, it doesn't say that. Moscow's military has remained in the country, decimating its infrastructure, compromising its energy grid, and shelling schools and civilian locations. Political, business, and philanthropic leaders who attended CGI's hope the new organization will provide the nonprofits working in Ukraine as a spotlight to magnify their impact and subsequently increase monetary commitments to their efforts. The nonprofit Save Ukraine, which has opened community centers across the country to help families, especially children, traumatized by the war and rescue Ukrainian children who have been detained in Russia, is set to receive commitments of support during the conference. So what would be the commission for the Clinton Initiative? They must be running low on funds. Hillary has to make an impact, and of course the daughter has to be, provided for the rest of her life, correct? We know that we have no choice. We must work hard, and we are ready for that, said Yarokina, who is based in Kyiv. But we also have this feeling of, guys, please don't leave us because we want to be with you. If we are not with you, Russia is going just to erase us off the map of the world, says Olga Yarokina, spokeswoman for the charity. Well, there you go. I'll put the link in the chat. Oh, I can't get in the chat room. Okay. Well, Oh, amazing, Al. Absolutely amazing. The Clintons have found a new funding vehicle, and it's Ukraine, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's a 15% kickback would be my 10 to 15%. Why else would Biden be sending so much money over there? And you have the disaster in Maui, and the son of a bitch has the send $700 per family to a natural disaster like that, and now they put black. You can't even get in there to look at the damage. There's something going on. That's a very strange situation. But Biden sends $700 a family, and then the next breath, he's sending billions over to Ukraine. Give me a break.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Sue was right about Hawaii, about Maui, and that was very simply, you know, there's a master plan for Lahaina, and Lahaina appears to be a rich land. It's an old land, so it's expendable. And, you know, those that are up in the upper areas of above Lahaina, like your Jeff Bezos and Oprah Winfrey's, they see a land that is ripe. And, you know, is it AI cities like the globalists want, such as Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, or, you know, is it the fact that the wealthy now are going to turn that land into their own little playhouse and play store where they can enrich themselves even further? It's really sad that the president of the United States or his handlers, and we say his handlers because they are the ones that are basically running the show, they've abandoned the people of Hawaii. But you know what? The people of Hawaii can also look to themselves in the mirror and say, why do we keep, you know, voting for this corruption? You know, they vote solidly Democrat, not Democratic, because there's nothing Democratic about the Democrat Party. And you got this Mazie Hirono, who's another radical. What has she done? She loves to bloviate. She loves to be center stage and knock President Trump. But where has Mazie Hirono been, you know, in screaming at the top of her lungs for help for her people? She's a senator of Hawaii. She's one of two senators. She's a Democrat left-wing senator. Where the hell has she been, huh? Where has Mazie been to fight for the people of Hawaii? She's been silent, absolutely silent. Has she come out against the Biden regime's mishandling of Hawaii? No, of course not. Of course not. Why? You know what? She's a good Democrat Party puppet. As long as she follows and she opines the standard line, she'll continue to cover up for the feral old fraud Joe Biden and the anti-American handlers that are around that encircle Joe Biden. The fact that we've abandoned, that this government, that this Biden-Harris regime have abandoned the people of Hawaii, they've abandoned the people of East Palestine, Ohio, is unconscionable, absolutely unconscionable. And you got these yahoos like Christian Welker who want to continue to insert their own opinion in trying to attack President Trump. And all we want to do is make America great. And somehow that's a bad thing. And in the meantime, you have Communist China forging an alliance with the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. Communist China forging an alliance with Gulf states. You have Communist China now forging an alliance or seeing to an alliance between Russia and North Korea, because, you know, the word is, and you know as well as I, there are many experts who say that Communist China is pulls the strings of North Korea. And then you have Communist China, who leads the way with the BRICS nations and increases it from 6 nations to 12. All while Biden eats his chocolate chip ice cream and he shuffles around and he talks about how he drove his 1968 Corvette. You want to get to the facts of the 1968 Corvette? He was banging a woman by the name of Jill Stevenson while Joe was married and she was married. Okay, let's take where that 1968 Corvette has been, huh? Yeah, this great Catholic who was unfaithful to his wife. Okay, and who knows if his wife tried to commit suicide as a result of her finding out that her newly to be elected husband to the United States Senate was fooling around with some woman in town called Jill Stevenson. I'll tell you, Al, what we're seeing today in the United States of America is unbelievable when it comes to politics. But you know what? We've got to fight back, and certainly President Trump is one of those fighters. I can't put the article in the chat room about the Clintons, but you got to check it out at Fox News. It's titled Clinton Global Initiative Announces a New Proposal to Help Rebuild Ukraine, Provide Humanitarian Support. And if you scroll down in the article, it's got a picture of mugshots of Hillary, Bill, and Chelsea. They are the three most somber and looking individuals. I mean, they're a bunch of sad sacks. And it's like, did somebody take away their checkbook or something? Because you have to see it. It really, it's comical to look at the sad faces of these global thieves. It's unbelievable. Well, another thing really quick. So when we talk about humanitarian aid, today the United States had a prisoner swap, a prisoner exchange between Iran and the United States. Five American hostages were returned from Iran today in exchange for five Iranian captives. The five hostages landed in Doha, Qatar, and the deal was brokered by Qatar. And this is just another genius play by the inept and incompetent Biden-Harris-Obama regime. And it's just it's an extension of the Obama-Biden regime. But the regime also is releasing $6 billion in cash of Iranian assets to Iran. The United States gets nothing, but we get our hostages back, okay? Because that's exactly what they were when it comes to Iran holding. They were hostages. But we're releasing $6.5 billion of Iranian assets as an exchange, which means that isn't it something to hold a country hostage? You take American citizens hostage, and then you attach a price tag on it. In this case, it's $6.5 billion. Well, it's not a lot of money, we're told, really. Okay. Well, neither was a $1 billion in unmarked cash that was sent over to Iran in an Iranian deal that was not sanctioned by the United States Senate. It was not put forth to the United States Senate. Now, granted, in this case, we're told by John Kirby, who's the spokesman, the State Department spokesman for the Biden regime, that no American dollars were used in that $6.5 billion. It was money that was frozen of Iran's assets. But we're told it's for humanitarian aid. Now, I don't know about you, Al, but I've learned a lot since 2014 concerning the theocratic the terrorist regime of Iran and Islamic Dawah. And if people really think that the people of Iran are going to benefit as humanitarian aid from the $6.5 million, you're grossly mistaken. And I do believe that the Biden-Harris-Obama regime believe that the American people are stupid. And they actually thrive on that because they pretty much do as they please. Now, the U.S. did receive five of our American citizens back, but why were we paying $6.5 billion, Al, in addition to the releasing five Iranians that were captive? Why? America's foreign policy has weakened drastically just in 972 days under Joe Biden and his anti-American regime. The Biden regime is nothing more than an extension of the Obama regime, and that would be the Obama-Biden regime, because they're the same players, folks, that were in place in 2009 to 2016. You had your Susan Rice, Samantha Power, John Kerry, Jake Sullivan, and you know what? You can add the shameless Clinton regime, John Podesta. Why all this appeasement of Iran? Why the appeasement? Once again, John Kerry has direct link to the Iranian government by virtue of his daughter marrying an Iranian national. The deal, according to the Associated Press, promises the release of 5 Iranian hostages held in the U.S. as part of the bargain. It also included a blanket waiver for international banks to transfer $6 billion in frozen Iranian money from South Korea to Qatar without fear of U.S. sanctions. Of course, there is no fear. When it comes to the feckless Joe Biden and the anti-American regime around him, there is no fear of reprisal. Why do you have U.S. sanctions in place? Why do you have U.S. sanctions in place and the President of the United States, Joe Biden, is buying oil from Iran? Why are there any sanctions in place and China, communist China now, is buying oil from Iran, and they're doing it in the open without any limitations whatsoever? You know, President Trump didn't trust these theocratic terrorist regime of Iran and their state sponsor of terror, as they sponsor, they're a state sponsor of terror with Hezbollah. They're a state sponsor of terror with Hamas. They are a state sponsor of terror in the tri-border region in South America. We have Islamic terrorists coming through our southern border because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the border czar, decided to open the border up of the United States. And so now we have unvetted undesirables, unvaccinated undesirables pouring through our borders. And now, without reprisal, without fear of U.S. sanctions, the United States released $6.5 billion of frozen Iranian money, but the United States gets nothing in return. And that's okay because Secretary of State Antony Blinken, he signed off on the deal last week. Did the U.S. Senate or Congress? No, the U.S. Senate and Congress was not apprised of this. Where is the outrage that Congress was not allowed, was allegedly not notified of the deal until Monday, which was also 9/11, which was last Monday? This is going back in August, by the way, that the Biden-Harris regime had been negotiating. And so, like everything else, it's optics. And so while America is blinded by 9/11, and rightly so, because we are memorializing that day when 19 Muslim men attacked the United States that was funded by Saudi Arabia.
Hey, I couldn't extend the show. I couldn't figure out how to do it. So we're going to be off air in about a minute.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, folks, it's going to be an hour long today. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. But we had it set for 2 hours, so it's been this has been a trying month, folks, so we really apologize. But, you know, I want to thank you all for joining. Hoser, thank you for letting me know about the time there. We couldn't change it, but we're going to try again next week. And you all be safe out there. We got Hank Jones and Polly Sports coming up on Wednesday, Simon Dockduck on Saturday, and Alan and I will be back next Monday, and hopefully we'll get this all corrected. So you all be safe out there. Thank you, Bigfoot, Ducky, Golf Dogs. Hank Jones and Hoser and all you in the chat room, Central New Mexico, thank you all in our podcast for joining today. And you all be safe out there. God bless you guys.
So long. Yeah, this is really frustrating. I went to the website, followed the instructions, go to episode info tag, showtime selections, and there should be a drop-down duration menu, but I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I've done it before. Okay, so it wasn't me. Okay, good.
Right, you go into the settings, right, or create menu? Which one?
Yeah, go either create one. Go into settings and create. You can create. Go to create too if you can pull it up, and then there should be a drop down menu for the time, for the duration, and we've added it on during shows before when I put them in wrong, but this time nothing. That is strange.
You know, it's funny. I went to the episodes and I went to edit. And
that's where I was going to.
Okay. So I see that the duration, it says 1 hour, and I'm thinking, you know, I can't help it, but I guess when we start talking pro-Trump and anti-Biden, No, I know. It's just that's wrong. I shouldn't do that. But no, I couldn't.
I don't know.
I couldn't do the same.
Yeah, it should be under advanced options, and they give you startup menu category, and that's it, but nothing for time.
Advanced options. Okay. Let's see that going in there.
Yeah, and then you click on direct. I don't know. Yeah. I couldn't.
Yeah.
And then even if, and if you go to upcoming and still do it, and still not doing it, create puts you in a place where there's a show that hasn't been created yet, so there's no way to go back to one that's already, that I could figure out how to go back to one that's running. So.
Yeah, that's
well,
weird.
So you tried the same thing I did. No luck. Oh, well.
I know that we've done it before, too. I think I can remember you doing it because we had incorrectly set the show up for some sort of a time and it didn't work. And I know that was one of the first things that they teach you how to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I tried to follow the instructions. I pulled it up in Blog Talk Radio, instructions, blah, 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 blah. So I don't know.
I'm not sure I like the new change that they made. A lot of things aren't going right.
Yeah, this is obviously me because I just couldn't figure out how to do it. I'm sure there's got to be a way. But I'll be damned.
Well, let them know that there was no way to change it. And I went through the way too, and where there's no place for time to change. And if you hit the replace, episode audio, it brings you to a different location. So I don't know. And under startup audio, of course, that's just going to give you the startup. But, I mean, expanded advanced options.
Mm-hmm.
That's just weird.
Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. I'll have to send them a note. Oh, well. Eat dinner early tonight.
Yes. Yeah. Good. I can use the rest.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. This is really weird. Now,
yeah, there's some good stories out there, too, we didn't even talk about. That F-35, did you hear about that missing F-35
yes.
jet? So
yes.
If you have any information on the whereabouts of this $80 million jet, please call 843-963-3600. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? They're reaching out to the public because the pilot had it on autopilot and ejected for whatever reason, and the plane continued to fly on autopilot, and they don't know where the hell it went.
You know what I thought about immediately?
Huh.
I thought about what? James Bond. James Bond. Go
yeah.
watch the movie Thunder. Go watch the movie Thunderball.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fourth. I think it was the fourth movie that Sean Connery did as James Bond. And it's a U.S. military plane. It was hijacked by a pilot who had changed his identity, got a plastic surgery, and he ended
yeah.
up killing the people. They kill all of his co-pilot and stuff, and he flies the plane to the bottom of the sea. It gets into he lands it on the ocean. Because it's a movie, but the thing sinks to the bottom of the sea, and he sends a team down and they put a cover on it. And what they were doing is taking the nuclear warheads that were on this plane. And they were going to use, of course, going to use for nefarious purposes, but it was James Bond, man. This plane just, nobody knows where it's at.
I wonder if it had drone capabilities where someone could fly it, whether there's a pilot or not, because that's the latest trend with all these jets, is to make them autonomous.
Whoa.
I wonder if this one was autonomous.
Oh, what do you mean that? What are you saying?
I don't know what I'm saying. Because why would the
Whoa.
Pilot eject? I don't know. It's just weird. And wouldn't they want to keep it quiet instead of letting the public know?
if that F-35 jet is in your backyard, yeah. will you please call the Department of Defense?
Yeah. Hey, honey, there's a jet in our backyard. Oh, well, I've got the number to call, 843-963-3600. Hello? My name's Bob. Bob Smith, and I've got a jet in my backyard.
Yeah. I understand it's worth $1.7 trillion. You could have it for $150,000.
Oh, yeah. This is an $80 million jet. 80 mil. And then you got Hunter Biden suing the IRS because they made him look bad.
Yeah, nothing that laptop from hell couldn't make him look bad, could it? No,
right.
Arrested.
Yeah, what do you say? They released some information on his tax. What about Trump getting his whole tax return released?
Yeah,
the IRS didn't really care too much about that, did they? No.
I mean, even Rachel Maddow kind of lost her job over it as a result of her, you know, having orgasms about having Trump's tax return and then realizing there was nothing in it that was bad.
Right, yeah. Somebody came to her and started reporting it. Oh, yeah. And, he paid more taxes than he needed to, and he gave too much to charity. He gave a lot of it to charity. Oops.
Yeah, oops is right. Oh, my God. You know, there's been a couple of incidences now this interview that President Trump gave to Christian Walker of Meet the Press was just another indication that, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and, you know, I've really tried not to go down that road, but I can't help it. I mean, there's no way, shape, or form that a furlough fraud has conducted a campaign from a basement and gets 81 million votes, and then one proclaims he's going to be the most transparent ever, and transparency is not even in his vocabulary. I mean, this is one of the most secretive cabals that we've ever seen coming out of the White House. And yet there's no pushback, you know, from the very media who claims that they want to be taken seriously and they want to be taken as mainstream. And yet there's no accountability, you know, being held on the part of on the part of this regime. And I just, every time that, you know, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve really pisses me off with regards to how Christian Walker, you know, tried to save Joe Biden and the Biden regime. And all she had to do was say nothing, which an objective journalist, if they were truly a journalist, they would have done so. They would have said nothing. But then she had to sit there and force her own personal animus and her own opinion, which is wrong. It was absolutely wrong. You know, the only reason for releasing the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, over 350 million barrels of oil was released, was in order to artificially lower gas prices. Well, excuse me, but just 2 years previous, President Trump showed the best way to lower gas prices is to drill, baby, and to produce.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's not producing anything, and yet she saw, Christian Welker saw fit to dispute this and to be the arbiter of the truth of the Strategic Petroleum. Well, there are other factors. Well, no, this is the reason. No, there are other factors. Well, your opinion sucks. It's not needed, Christian. Oh my God. Just
hey, but at least he went on the show. I mean, he went on the show, which is basically MSNBC Lite, and he dominated it. So, and it's mostly liberals, I guess, who watch Meet the Press now. I don't know too many conservatives that spend any time watching it, just unless for curiosity. But they're going to see him, Trump, and they're going to end up maybe not voting for Trump, but they're definitely not going to vote for Biden. He may have won people over.
I hope so. I mean, I'd vote for the guy in a heartbeat, and his policies were definitely effective. The problem is that this particular, you know, this set of people inside the United States who believe that they're running the government and running media, you know, they all are of the opinion that globalism is the best way to go, and how dare you talk about making America great? I find that reprehensible.
Yeah, capitalism is king, not Marxism.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Yeah, right. Oh, nice. Wow. Hey, anyways, you get a chance, you know, watch it and see what you think. If you get through the first 30 minutes of it, but it's just amazing. It really is. I found it funny, I think President Trump did a great job as far as, you know, getting his point across, and she tried to trip him up on several occasions, but with her personal opinions. He's
good.
All
right. Yeah, really I'll watch is. It. I'll watch it now. I should watch it before the show, but I'll watch it now. I'm going through my emails.
Yeah, and the last thing about it is really this. I mean, I don't care, you know, who you, you know, what your political affiliation is, but what it's really telling is, whether it's Vivek Ramaswamy or President Trump, Joe Biden doesn't have the capability to sit down for even 10 minutes and answer any questions. And that just goes to tell you, that to me, that tells me that Joe Biden is just simply a puppet, a front man for whomever is running the show. You know, Biden should be, if he was truly the individual they say he is, he'd be out there in front of the media, but he can't do it. He doesn't have the ability. And so, you know, I think that this guy has continued his, he's a puppet, and he's doing exactly what the powers that be want. And doesn't matter,
hey, the
you
campaign,
know, if he fucks up in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Well, the campaign from the basement worked. So they're going to continue with it. Media covers for him, so he'll campaign from the base. The less you see of him, the better. And that was an effective strategy. So.
Yep, it was an effective strategy. You're absolutely right, an effective strategy.
Trump needs to draw him out and go, where's Joe? I want to talk to Joe. Where's Joe? What, he didn't want to come on with me this time? He needs to start calling him out every time he gets on the on TV.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, and separate out from the establishment.
Yeah. Hey, Kristen, where's Joe? Maybe Joe should come in and answer this. He's nowhere to be found. Would he ignore you too?
Oh my God. Well, have a good evening.
All right, you too. And I'll try and figure out what I couldn't do with this timing, but I tried everything. I couldn't figure it out.
I got it. I'm sending you a photo. I think they found the F-35. It's a picture of Hunter bare-chested smoking a cigarette.
Of what now? The five? Putting him on the five?
Yeah. No, the F-35 plane.
Oh, Hunter. Oh, he's flying the plane. Yes, send it. That's funny.
That's hysterical. Kelly Curry 45. Just did. Oh, man. Oh. That's hysterical. All right, Al. Have a good evening. Sorry for the screw-up on this one. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, no worries. Have a good week. I'll talk to you soon.
You too.
All right.
Ciao.